بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, peace be upon you. This is question and answer. I'm here with Mr. Bharati today. We're hoping to help you out with your questions on philosophy, ideology and theology. Also other related matters on Islamic law or whatever you might be of help to you. We're willing to discuss it with you. You are able and requested to contact us at the following telephone number, which is 0098-251-291-0551. I will repeat that once more. The telephone number is 0098-251-291-0551. Our email address is Radio Ma'arif, which is spelled like R-A-D-I-O, M-A-A-R-E-F at irib.ir. Mr. Bharati, thank you very much for joining us today. I hope you are in good health and iman, inshallah.
Thank you very much. I hope so for you, and a better future for you and all of Muslim and faithful brothers and sisters.
If possible, I would like to move on to the first question, and inshallah, Mr. Bharati will be of further help to us again.
What is the most convincing way to prove the existence of Allah, the Almighty? Thank you.
Okay. What is the most convincing way to prove the existence of Allah? Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Bharati.
That depends on the type of thinking of people. If they are thinking, for example, rationally and scientifically, so we have a lot of proofs from the nature itself. It's also, there are other ways, insight from the heart, from the light, as you told. There is a light coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gives knowledge and insight to people that notice to him, attend him, and always find God present in front of them.
Mankind's natural state of being, correct?
Yeah.
It's nature.
Nature.
And is it through studying? Is it through... Sorry if I'm repeating this again, because these type of questions, we had them a lot before. But for this person, it might be of help if we repeat this once more. What's the best way in general? Is it to study through emotional feeling? Is it through discussions, through listening to people, just reading Quran, just reading Hadith? What is it?
I told it is different. Some people, they depend on self-experience. They can make a kind of experience in life when they call God and He answers them. And they have a relation with God from their heart, not from their reasoning or mind or science. Some people are looking in the beginning for more evidences, like argumentations, logical argumentations, scientific argumentations. Depends. But the best way is from the heart and inside experience. When you call him, he answers you. When you need him, he helps you. When you pray to him, he becomes closer to you. So this is from the heart. This is a way of, like, mystic way. This is a way possible for everybody, and you can even call it experience.
Yeah, I am asking myself, these people that are looking for these spiritual experiences, like a lot of Christians, for example, they claim they have spoken with Christ himself, they have seen him or have seen angels, etc. You know, wondrous things. Muslims who are waiting for such things to happen, aren't they kind of expecting too much? Because a lot of people are looking for this during their lifetimes and they never find it.
In this way, because in Islam we say, وَهُوَ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. Allah is so close to you. Allah is available. at reach of you. You can find him any time, any moment. The distance between you and God is so close. Only one, for example, invitation or one calling. Even this calling does not need to wire or telephone set or mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Only you call him from your heart, from your soul. So Allah is close.
Wireless contact, like mobile phone.
Yeah. really wireless, because Allah says, I am with you. I am very close to you. أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ From your vein of neck.
Closer to you than your jugular vein.
Yeah. Okay, so by this meaning, it is possible.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not, has no possibility of transmission to others.
Mm-hmm.
You can find it yourself. You cannot transmit it to others.
Mm-hmm.
But if they make a contact and connection between you by soul. This is a way. No way is denied in Islam. The ways to Allah are more than or equal to a number of creators.
Mm-hmm.
Every creator has one way or more than one way to every created person has more than one way to his creator or its creator.
Are there any special techniques in order to reach these special spiritual experiences? Like you see some people going to extreme lengths to reach such a station. For example, some Hindus in
No need.
India, they go to
does
extreme,
not
they
a journey, does not a long-term journey or a long-distance journey. Mm-hmm. The journey is inside.
Mm-hmm.
And very clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ means that we bring the evidences for you closer. From your inside, from your soul, and from the nature.
Mm-hmm.
So the both ways are possible and available. You can find evidences of Allah, ayat of Allah, signs of Allah. You can find inside yourself and outside.
Basically, what you're trying to say is the following, that arguments for the existence of God and also to have a close relationship with God is to be found in life and nature itself, not in some specific, special or weird way of trying to encounter him.
Yeah.
Mm, very good. And I don't know, how do you feel about people using magic in order to see wonders? For example, to see jinn or to see angels, whatever type of special experience.
Magic is not validated and legalized in Islam. It is forbidden totally. And Imam Ali alayhi salam has told that everybody who believes in this kind of people, in for example, people which practice magic and like this, has denied prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Isn't there a difference between believing in magic and practicing it? Because as far as I know, the imams themselves, they accepted the truth of magic, but they said to practice this is completely forbidden.
Yes, but this needs also a little bit more explanation. Magic was existing and maybe still exists in the world. It is haram, it is forbidden in the same time. But most of people which claim that they know magic, they are cheaters.
Mm-hmm.
They cheat people. They don't know about magic. They have no knowledge about it. But magic, it is mentioned in all of the divine books, sacred books, for example, holy scripts like Torah and Injil, Bible, and also in Quran. In Quran, there are some verses which shows that magic is existing and is magic has some impacts and influences. But we have no right to believe in the person which claims that he or she can do magic and can influence on our life. It's not valid.
Basically a form of shirk, I guess.
Yeah.
You rely on something else. than God to solve your matters.
Yeah, because this kind of knowledge was existing in time of Solomon, mm-hmm. Prophet Solomon, in time of Harut and Marut in the Quran is mm-hmm. mentioned. But it's not such they claim now. Has a great influence or a great... And rarely people which claim it, they know it. Mm-hmm. So it's better to deny it.
Yeah, I read some article about this, and sometimes it really seems to take demonic forms, like some sorcerer tells some subject to bring him a rooster, and if he wants him to solve him solve his problems, he should choke this rooster, because a rooster is one of the animals that calls people to the azan.
Yeah.
He wakes them up for the morning prayer.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of this seems to return to hatred of God,
yeah,
and showing disgust.
It's from satanic cults.
Yes.
Like now today you have some of them in the West, in also in Middle East. We
it's
had
not like people really believe in Satanism in the West. It's just some like kind of rebellion they see against
religion.
Western life, Western community and everything. Because in some places, Christian tradition, Jewish tradition is still quite deep, and they want to show them, we don't like this, we hate it, and they choose something they hate even more instead to show that they are against something, which is completely ridiculous. Because Satanism in itself, if you think about it, it means, I'm sure you agree with me here, it means worshipping the self, worshipping your nafs, your ego. And because of this ego, people make war, people kill each other, people lie, and do all these things that they claim to be so against. So in the end, it's worse than Christianity or Judaism that they seem to be against.
Of course, of course. So if they don't like the traditions and cults in Judaism and Christianity, they should bring something better for people, mm-hmm. not something worse. So we don't agree with them because of this, because Satanism is to come back, to become worse than what you are.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are rebellion, you should be rebellion to a better order, to a better life, to a better system of ethics and values, not to a worst.
Because this Christianity and Judaism in itself teaches ethics to people,
yeah.
Teaches them how to become a better person.
Of course.
I think they get disappointed and upset about the people who make abuse of their religion, who abuse their religion for their own purposes.
Yeah.
This is the big difference.
But in the beginning, Satan was not, was a rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
We call him Iblis. Iblis means the first Satan in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Was a rebellion against God.
A rebel.
But
yeah.
A rebel for, against God, but not for the benefit of the society or people or others, for him, for himself. And mm-hmm. also he was misguided. He had misunderstanding, and he had selfishness.
Mm-hmm. And pride.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. pride. And later on he discovered he is wrong, but he was never ready to accept his mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But he did worst.
Mm-hmm.
For this mistake, he committed more bigger mistakes. So this kind of cults is against the society, against the mankind, and against other, and against self, against himself.
I would like to relate the following question to the question that was just asked. What is the most convincing way to prove the existence of Iblis, of Shaitan, when talking about him? Because a lot of people will tell you, for example, okay, I don't believe in God because I can't see him. And even if they believe in God, a lot of times they don't believe in Satan. So how could you explain to people what is Satan? What is his power? Does he have power over people at all? Or is it just something to take as, I don't know, like a way of expressing something in a non-literal way?
Yeah, Satan is a common name, is a general name for every creation or existing matter has all of these attributes. Either is a man or a woman or a jinn or everything. So Satan is common, but Iblis is for the first Satan in the world. This is not important when they don't believe in God. This is not a major belief, a major creed in Islam, or usul al-din, you call them principles of religion. Principle of religion is to believe in God. And power of Satan is not so important because Satan has no power. It is mentioned in a lot of verses in Quran that Satan has not any, doesn't have a kind of power upon you or influence or force to force you to do something. Only he can invite you. He can make a call. And you are the one who makes the decision. Only his power is upon those who follow him. He has a power only upon people who wants to follow him. He has no ability to force you or to make you or even to encourage you if you are strong in your will and in your destination.
But I would like to pose you a little bit of a critical question here. You say the only power that Shaitan has is to whisper to us, to tempt us. But these whispers, aren't they just our own thoughts? Because our thoughts are ours and not of someone else.
And also there are some verses in Quran and a lot of traditions that a lot of people make complaint against Satan in the day of resurrection, judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings Satan and tells him, you answer these people. He says, okay, was not my crime or was not my action to invite you to the crime? They say yes. He says, okay, in the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited you to good acts and deeds. I invited you to bad deeds. He invited you to good deeds. Why you accepted my invitation and rejected his invitation? I had no power upon you.
I see.
Then they bring these people to the hell. They say, you now are convinced that you are guilty, not anybody else, even Satan. Because there were different invitations. You choose this. You used your option to come to this invitation and leave that.
This invitation, I mean, for example, there's a person in the street doing something bad, okay? He wants to show you something which is forbidden in Islam, for example. He wants to invite you to something which is not allowed in Islam. So this action, I would say this is his own action, not that of Satan, because this action is within his own power. He's the one perpetrating.
Makes decision.
Satan. Yeah, he makes the decision, not Satan.
You're right.
So how should I envision this? Because I have a problem of understanding this.
No, it is clear. You are right. This decision maker is this man, this criminal person.
But what important point does Satan have in this story?
Only call, invitation, to show you bad. Because you know about good, he shows you bad also. Then you make a choice. So only his role is to show you bad. And say that this is possible also. This is not committing crime or helping crime or assisting or sharing in crime. So the crime is upon shoulders of the criminal person.
But then it means Shaitan must have some omnipresence amongst us. It means that in this sense that he's some way expanded over all creation.
No. When they say Satan, is not meant that Iblis. Iblis is one person, but Satan is called by it every evil person.
Every devil.
Yeah.
So maybe it could be like this, that our own thoughts, when they invite us to do something bad, this is Satan, rebellion against God, but it's not Iblis.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
I see.
Because so Iblis has a lot of children, a lot of army, a lot of children, a lot of, for example, agents. He does not interfere in all of the cases and situations. He has an army, a big army. Iblis, the great, it was one only.
So we should make a big difference between the internal shaitan and the external shaitan.
Yeah, and also you, without shaitan, also you can have desires, bad desires. Mm-hmm. So nafs al-ammara is existing also. So it is not only Satan doing all of this. Yeah.
So there's a difference between these two things.
Yeah.
Sometimes it might be a possibility that in some cases...
Without presence of Satan, somebody committed a crime.
Mm-hmm. But in some cases, it might be demons inviting you to something.
Yeah, somebody else that is inviting you or encouraging you to do this. And even some people, some man can people could be considered Satan. Shayateen al-jinn wal-ins. There is a verse in Quran says that we had assigned for every prophet enemies. These enemies are Satans from mankind and from jinn. And they teach each other how to make hostility towards this prophet. Like this day, these days we observe about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some people are hostile to him and insulting him. So all of them are considered Satans.
Okay. Mr. Barati, thank you.
Subhanallah, hamdan lillah, wa la ilaha illallah. Subhanallah, hamdan lillah, wa la ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, hamdan lillah, wa la ilaha illallah.
Loses his job or money as a result of his negligence may blame Allah for that, saying that it is his will. The total earnings of a person in his lifetime are already set by Allah, isn't it? Why should a man work then? Please explain what powers Allah has given to mankind.
This is a very good question. Until which point does a man have power over his own affairs, and to which point does God have power over the affairs of man? Is it like, should we believe in predetermination? Or should we believe in the freedom of choice that a man has and that he chooses his own destiny?
Yes. Predetermination by a way which disables mankind is not accepted in Islam. We call it jabr or fatalism or what you call for example,
predetermination.
Predetermination is not accepted in Islam. We have traditions from Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam say there is no jabr, no tafwiz, no free will in a way that you are out of control of Allah, and no determination in the way that you are disabled and without any power.
They call this Amr Bain al-Amrain.
Amr Bain al-Amrain. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a power upon man, even when he has his freedom and power and potentiality. Because this is bestowed to him by Allah. This is derived from Allah's will, and in the same time, anytime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to stop this man, could do this. But there is a verse in Quran says, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. When you have a free will, it is given by you to Allah. It is Allah's will. Allah's will is for you to have free will.
So we don't have free will out of our own free will. It was predetermined.
Yeah.
Some things we can choose, but some things are also predetermined. We cannot change it. Like, for example, the sex we were born with.
Of course.
And could you go a little bit more deeper into this? Because for a lot of people, this is really an issue that needs to be discussed more deeply than this. For example, could you use some kind of parable to illustrate this issue?
Yes. When, for example, somebody is created by a creator,
yes,
and this creator has put some potentialities in this created matter, all these potentialities returns to the creator.
Mm-hmm.
So my free will also is created by Allah. When I do something, it is not out of control of Allah. Means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if wants to stop me, he can. So when
it needs continuity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. This verse is a very good explanation for it. There is no will from you, but it is will of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
So even when you are free, you are under control of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
But you are not, for example, disabled totally in a way that they can say, if you committed a crime, you are not responsible.
Mm-hmm.
If you do good, you can attribute to Allah.
Mm-hmm.
You say, this is from Allah. I prayed, I gave alms to a poor person, this is from Allah.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do a bad commitment, or commit a crime, you cannot say, Allah has done this. Mm-hmm. No, me. In attribution, in responsibility is upon your shoulder.
Am I right? This is where Allah comes in, the mm-hmm. will of Allah, not our will.
Of course.
Yes.
In the same time, there are determination and fatalism existing with freedom,
mm-hmm.
the same time for human being. And you cannot say it is purely fatalism or purely free will.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you told, something I cannot change it. Like my, for example, place of birth or my race or my, for example, physical conditions or my IQ and something mm-hmm. else. It is put inside me
uh-huh.
without my, and even my creation. I was not attending and decision making in my creation.
Uh-huh.
Somebody else created me without my free will. There are something existing that is not changeable by you and you have not free will upon it. And in the same time, there are something existing that you can determine in them, like your job, your work, your place of stay, your studies, your, for example, degrees, you can change them. So in the same time, you enjoy freedom and determination.
Mm-hmm.
And not pure determination, not pure freedom.
Mm-hmm.
They are mixed.
But what, for example, if I'm in an airplane and suddenly the motors of the airplane stop to work and the plane crashes down? What is this? Should I say that it's the will of God that he chose this to happen? Or was it the choice of the airplane that did it? Because if it's like this, we could say Allah commits injustice towards people.
How?
Well, for example, by getting them killed. Getting them killed, he destroyed the airplane. It stopped to work and they crashed down.
Okay, why we don't consider the technicians guilty?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't check up the airplane very well, and they didn't give the pilot, for example, awareness about the problems mm-hmm. in the engines.
Mm-hmm.
Why we don't consider them guilty?
Mm-hmm.
We could consider them guilty because they interfered in such as this. For example, misery and catastrophe.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, is it like this that maybe that what has been determined by Allah means not like Allah gives it directly to us and we don't need to work towards it, but does it maybe mean that Allah knows what we will reach?
Of course.
And he has put this in our ikhtiyar, in our possession. And
Allah, for sure, he knows what happens moments later or hours later or days, years and centuries later, and also he determines finally. But before he determines finally, you are in the row of causes and reasons of what is happening. The last endorsement is from Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Without his endorsement, it does not happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you are among those they endorsed before him.
Mm-hmm.
So it means this.
Ayatollah Makarem Shirazi, he makes a nice example in which he uses a real network and the electricity cable above it. And on it, there's a train driving. And within it, there's a person. There's a person driving the train, steering the train. And what he says, you can see God like the electricity cable above the train. If God chooses to turn off the electricity, you cannot drive. You don't move. And even though it's you operating the steering wheel of a car or a train or whatever, it's the continuity from Allah that gives us the possibility to keep on moving and do our thing, basically.
This is a good example, but if you think deeper,
mm-hmm.
and wider, then you find that Allah is not playing only role of electricity,
mm-hmm.
but the driver is created by Allah himself.
Mm-hmm.
His mentality is created by Allah. His free will is also created mm-hmm. by Allah.
Thank you very much.
Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum 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 Ya Hayyu Ya
Mr. Bharati, thank you very much. It was very beneficial to me. I hope you will be here next week with us.
And thank you very much.
Inshallah, me as well as the listeners will be able to share the fruits of your knowledge, inshallah.
I hope also to learn
coming
from
session.
Yeah.
Okay, dear listeners, this was it. I'm very sorry. We have to leave you and, well, hopefully you'll join us next session as well. Please don't hesitate to contact us. We are in need of your help. We need your telephone calls, your emails. Send us your questions, your comments, whatever you feel like. Contact us at 0098-251-291-0551. 0098-251-291-0551. It's also possible to reach us by email at radiomarref@irib.ir. Thank you very much for listening. Fi amanillah.
Allah subhanallah. Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah. Allah, 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 Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdalillah. Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdalillah. Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdalillah. Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdalillah.